Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good. Last week I really, really wanted to be in Japan because it was very cold and miserable, but today, here in London's fine capital, or rather England's fine capital, London, it's nice and sunny.
It's still cold up in Tohoku. It's the difference in temperature between different areas in Japan is ridiculous. I was in Tokyo the other day and it was like 15, 16 degrees. You come up north, like an hour and a half on the bullet train, it's like 1 degree and it sucks.
Oh, it is bizarre. I remember sort of going from, like I've said it before on the podcast, but like going from Tokyo, wearing a t-shirt, maybe a light cardigan maximum, and then flying up to Sapporo. And it was just, I had to buy thermals and just, you know, wear a layer up and wear about five different layers. It was blummin' freezing.
This is the most British start to a podcast has ever been. Two people talking about the weather. I remember when I used to have an office job, that's all you ever did. You ring up people in different parts of the country and just talk about the weather for like 5 minutes. last week, we read out a story from Shannon, a listener in the US. It was a lovely story about how she'd bonded with... I'll say bonded, that's a strong one. How she'd just chatted to a stranger sitting next to her on the plane, who was also an Abroad Japan podcast listener. But she didn't get her details. So we read out Shannon's story with the hope that we could sort of bait the other person to listen in and send in their details. And it happened. It happened, Pete. Debbie got in touch. The Abroad Japan podcast, bringing people together around the world. Debbie's email says, "Hey Chris, I was listening to the podcast when I heard about Shannon's email to you. I nearly dropped my coffee. I was so flabbergasted. That was me. I was the one that was totally peering over her shoulder to see what she was listening to." It's a bit dodgy. "There was an empty seat between us for the flight and I was curious to see what she was listening to. I was so excited to see she was listening to the Abroad Japan podcast. I wanted to say something right there and then, but she was in the middle of listening to it and I didn't want to disturb her from a great podcast session. I finally got the courage to say something to her and hopefully not appear like a creepy seatmate." Creepy seatmate. "When we were waiting to get off the plane, we were both doing crazy research for our trips to Japan, and she mentioned that she never really listens to podcasts, but she listens to Abroad Japan. We shared our mutual love for Pete and said goodbye." No love for me, just Pete. "I'm so excited to connect with her to see what her trip will be like. I'm going for the first time in June. What a small world. Thanks for sharing her message on the podcast." Brilliant. "My work here is done, Pete. Ladies and gentlemen, we've brought people together on a plane going over San Francisco. I'm happy."
Love can build a bridge. Podcasts between your heart and mine. And stuff like that.
I wonder what this this mutual love for Pete entails.
It's a dark place. Imagine the dark forest from a fairy tale. It's basically that. Anyone who's in any way keen on anything I've done. You've got to take a long, hard look at yourself. Maybe have a word with yourself. Think about how your life's gone, that you think anything I do is in any way acceptable.
I just picture you in a dark forest rolling around on some floor with some empty beer cans, to be honest. Sounds about right. The first image that sprung to my mind when you said
Dark
Forest.
I abhor the fact that I'm regarded as some sort of drunk. I am a man who likes to party, but only on partying nights, Saturdays. Fridays.
Well, I think I've only ever seen you drunk once. And when you get drunk, you just tend to fall asleep. And it's not quite as exciting as you'd think.
You've only seen me jet lagged. You saw me on London time, and we were out until about 4 o'clock in the morning, so that was all right.
I remember, yeah, but didn't you just fall asleep? I remember just seeing you slumped in a chair, falling asleep. Although, admittedly, you did get a bit energetic when my friend spilt their beer all over your face. Well, that was pretty funny.
Oh, he was all right. I don't mind that. If someone spills their beer, that's absolutely fine. That is collateral damage on a night out. That's absolutely fine.
So this week, I asked you guys to send in your stories regarding English, Japanglish. I never know what to call it. What do you call it, Pete? Japanese English, English, Japanglish?
I always think English sounds a little racist, but then it's very hard to sort of come home from a holiday in Japan where you spent your whole... weeks like dropping L's and replacing them with R's and adding an extra maybe U or E in there to come home and not feel like you've been incredibly racist for the last, because when you're like looking for a hotel, you're just kind of adding R's and U's to stuff that used to have L's, so it's kind of like you come home and you're like, have I been dreadful for a week and a half? But of course you haven't. You're just making it so that you could be understood by people. I have to do this everywhere. With my accent from the northeast of England, I've got to go... Whenever I'm in America, I sort of talk a little bit like this so I can actually sound like an English person and people don't understand what I'm saying. Good Lord.
Well, I guess there's a fine line between being racist and actually telling the truth. I remember I was leaving Fox Village once... And there used to be a sign that said "Please come again" because it misspelled "please" with an R. Mm. And you know, I don't feel it's overly racist. I guess it depends on the context. But the reason I brought it up this week is I saw an article about the Japan Tourism Agency. What with the upcoming Rugby World Cup and the Olympics next year, they've started to panic as they realise that a lot of the English around the country literally makes no sense. For example, there was a lost and found box. That somebody had labelled as the Forgotten Centre, which sounds like some sort of hospice for people with dementia. there was another sign. They conducted this big investigation across 85 train and bus companies across the country to see what English they were using. One transport company referred to children as dwarves. Which dwarves, brilliant.
Oh, no.
What else? There was a sign at Jinbocho subway station in central Tokyo where it just said, take off your guilty shoes and come into the prison politely.
Nice. I mean, where have they got prison, though? Underground train? I don't know where that comes from, but I like Forgotten Center. That sounds like a horrible film. It sounds like something Benicio del Toro would make.
Forgotten David Lynch. Oh, yeah. Have you ever encountered any experiences of Japanglish on your travels?
Yeah, I mean they're all around, really, aren't they? I mean, it's hard to pick out one specifically, but I mean it's stuff like I think we've got some underwear coming up, so we'll probably talk about that later on. But it's stuff like that where you're like, I can kind of see what you've gone for, but I don't really know why that's allowed. And it's just nobody's calling them out on it. I think you could walk down any street in Japan and just sort of point out 10. Like, you say, like a street with like 10 houses, 10 buildings on it. You could walk down a street and point out 10 examples of poor English, or just confused English, or just something that sounds absolutely mental. And you could sort of go, right, all you need to do is change that. But, you know, it's one of the reasons why Japan's so bloody charming, isn't it? It's just, you know. And remembering, of course, that it is such a different language to everything else in the world, and it's the way that they use English language is actually quite poetic at times.
It can also be a bit of a nightmare. I remember walking through Osaka once at Christmas time, and there was some sort of sale on in the run-up to Christmas, and there were just signs everywhere, dozens, hundreds of signs out the front of this big discount shop just saying, Christmas fucking sale. I think that's one of my favourite examples ever. That somebody just assumed that fucking kind of was just... like meant very,
yeah,
very
like,
Christmas
yeah.
sale or something. I don't know. I thought it was some sort of. It's things like that that make life worth living in Japan. There was a more sinister example that I had one time. I was walking through a shopping centre in Sendai, and I saw a children's clothing shop, a discount children's clothing store. It didn't have a lot going for it, but the name of the store was Starvations, just written above the door, big letters, Starvations. Felt a bit inappropriate, given the context of the discount children's clothing shop. And then there was last year when I was walking past a bakery, again in Sendai, I think it was Sendai Station, and it was a bakery selling all sorts of stuff. And outside the front of the shop, they had like a big sign saying all the different things they sold in there. And they had pizza, custard pudding, you know, the sort of things you'd find in a bakery.
Yeah.
And on that list of ingredients, on that list of items, amidst pizza and custard pudding was rape fruit and man bread. And I, to this day, I'm still have no idea what that meant. If it was a mistranslation, if somebody just spelt it wrong, could be grapefruit. Could it be grapefruit and naan bread? I don't know. Can you solve the mystery of what it was?
Yeah, it could be grape, actually. But I guess it's because they would historically always use in Japanese the kanji. And obviously the kanji can have three or four different meanings depending on context, I believe. So like, it's why you get like stuff like the Boss Coffee. One of my favourite Boss Coffee products is Suggy Drip, which sounds disgusting. It sounds like you've eaten a lot of old moths. Silky Drip. But then you get like arcade machines. One of my favourite arcade machines is just, like, this shooter. Mm. Bang, bang, bang. With the old light gun. And there's these actual kind of physical, electronic, sort of pneumatic doors that open and close when a level starts and ends. And the game is called Elevator Action Death Parade, which just sounds like a wonderful kind of postmodern kind of Tarantino film, which is fantastic. But yeah, then you do get a lot of in a lot of hotels, for the hotels that I stayed in, Osaka, I had one that said electric kettle. I'm just looking through my old Facebook pictures, and it said it replaced the L for the R, so it's electric. But that's how people would speak. So, you know, what can you do?
Are your holiday snaps just an endless sea of photos of
the first time I went, there was a lot of like taking pictures of the shower gel in the hotel. One of the big products over there is kiss my face, do what comes naturally, which I think is fantastic. And then, like, the second time you go, well, you know, it's just the way things happen. And I think that's what makes Japan so charming. So I probably wouldn't post that.
Well, I mean, I used to spend hours each week on the hunt for these kind of weird Japanese English to put in my videos. I used to go, the best place to go is probably Daiso or Don Quixote. Daiso, the 100 yen store, a lot of the products are kind of very cheap.
Yes.
Some of them are poorly made. Certainly poorly marketed. I remember... I always went to the notepad section for like notepads and diaries. That was always the best one. I don't know why.
Oh yeah.
But I saw a notepad.
Well, they always have like really inspirational messages on them, don't they?
I guess to make them stand out and differentiate them from the other crappy cheap notepads, they just put like weird English on because English looks prestigious and premium. But it doesn't if you mess it up. And I remember one notepad was just this children's notepad with a bunny rabbit on. And there's a little speech bubble coming out of the bunny rabbit. It says, I like a donut. What's your favourite drink?
Oh, it's not so good.
It starts off nice, but a little bit sinister. And there's no other context. That's all there is. It's just a bunny rabbit with that quotation mark, with that quotation bubble. Mm. So, I don't know where they're coming from or who writes this stuff or where it gets thought up. But the one that I've featured the most prominently, and you'll have seen this, if you looked at my YouTube channel and seen either of the videos I've done on Crazy Japanish or Crazy English, the one that always stands out in my mind is Black Man Underwear, which right off the bat just sounds like a really awkwardly named brand of underwear. Black Man Super Bikini. The idea behind these underwear is they're a little bit seductive and, I don't know, how would you describe them, Pete? What makes them Black Man?
Well, they have a lot of they're quite well contoured, I'd say. And there's a lot of there's different variants. Obviously, with any underpant company, would have a different kind of product range for each need. But yeah, they're quite well contoured. They show off your junk quite well.
Have you got a pair of Black Man underwear?
I do. I do actually have a pair of Black Man because I dressed as Minnie Mouse for Halloween a few years ago, it was a little. It was a little naughty. Like if the wind caught me at the wrong direction, I would have been showing off some very unlovable pants. So I thought I'll get some longer pants. And Black Man had kind of like to the knee sort of boxer shorts. Very colourful. So I was wearing them for most of the time.
Well, it feels like the slogan or tagline for Black Man underwear applies to you pretty well, to be honest, given that description. So each box of Black Man underwear is adorned with this very slogan. It's quite poetic. Get ready. It says, "A man has freedom as a man. It is dream, love, and everything else. Black Man is pursuing it forever. Black Man makes you to be free. It is a nice taste." And then it just ends there. I don't know. A Black Man makes you to be free. Black man is pursuing it forever.
It's the taste bit that's problematic, isn't it, at the end? And it tastes nice. It's like, what I like about it is it's like they've clearly went taste, because we mix the word taste with like kind of, it's not just flavour, it's also style as well. You have great taste in something. So they've clearly confused that a little bit or conflated the two. It's great.
Well,
I love it.
Well, no, for me, my favourite line is the second line, where they clearly ran out of ideas. They're just like, it is dream, love. Then there's like an ellipsis, and then just, and everything else. They gave up right there and then. There's nothing else.
I love it.
But that is Japanese as well. There's an expression in Japanese, I think nado, where it just means and everything else.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so they've clearly integrated that into the language. And that's the most interesting thing when you learn Japanese and you learn Japanese grammar. You see how it plays out in these English translations. You see how it ruins things and makes it go wrong. But we've got some fantastic examples that have been sent in by you guys. What's the first one we've got, Pete?
We got one from Mike in Swindon, lovely part of the world, UK. Yeah. Hi, Chris and Pete. My friend in Tokyo sent me this picture a while back. A little bit of research has shown me that this is a legitimate idol band, seemingly known as Brand New Idol Shit. They're called Bish, basically. B-I-S-H, and Brand New Idol Shit is their name. I don't recommend watching their videos on YouTube. They're just bizarre. Anyhow, keep up the good work. It's always appreciated. Cheers, Mike in the UK. And he's, I think either you or he's appended a picture of them on
this
tour.
This is Mike's picture, yeah.
Them playing, I can't see where they're playing, but their tour title is called Bring Icing Shit Horse Tour Final, The Nude.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Wow.
What does that even mean?
I have not a clue.
What are they getting at?
Did you find this video? You've appended a video to the running order this morning. And
I read this and I found the video myself. You just type in Brand New Idol Shit into YouTube. We get a video come up and it's of Bish. And it's barely watchable or listenable. No offence to Bish. But it's just like four or five girls covered in mud. Or
not,
something
not just
far
mud,
less
just
distasteful.
Slimy mud. They've got an interesting aesthetic. They're really high production value, and they're just always covered in mud in their videos, and they're always running around.
Is it mud?
In mud.
Is it mud though?
That's well, the video that you showed me, it kind of cuts between slimy mud and then wallpaper paste. It looks like on one girl, And that's as far down that particular rabbit hole I'm willing to go. But yeah, they just seem to be this kind of like, not grotesque, they're good-looking young girls dressed as, schoolgirls and all. The usual kind of idle fare. And then they're just covered in mud and dirt. And all their videos are quite dark. It's interesting. I gave them a little Google. One of their previous members of the band, Hug Me, which is quite nice. It's spelled like a kind of like a, I guess, a Korean name. Hug Me. Yukaku Love Deluxe. She left a little while ago. Some of the other members who are currently in the band. The normal Hashiyasume Atsuko. Obviously just a normal name. And then there's Momoko Gummy Company. And Ling Ling.
What?
Yeah. Fascinating.
Oh, my God. If there's one thing you've got to do after this podcast, folks, is go on YouTube, type in Brown Idol shit, and witness several girls rolling around in mud.
Mud.
And, yes.
Yeah.
Just that image and the name of the band. It just... Oh, God. Anyway, let's just move on.
Yeah.
Bish.
Bish.
What could you want? Got another one from Matt Jenkins. He says, "Hi Chris and Pete, love the podcast. While I was in Japan last year, I took a lot of joy in some of the terrible Japanglish around, from the subtle pizza sand to the complete gibberish." You often see that around. You see the word sand in Japanese. It took me a while to work this out in my first year. I used to go around and it'd be like chocolate sand or sugar sand,
right?
Which sounds really sinister and unpleasant, but sand is just short for sandwich. So once you've learned that, it kind of takes the fun out of sand.
You've ruined that for me now.
Convenience stores the world over.
What about Inspector Sands, which is what they say over antennas, over public address speakers systems on the tube. I can't talk this morning. Apologies. When there's a fire on the tube, or when there's a suspected fire on the tube station on the metro system here in London, you'll usually hear somebody saying, "Well, Inspector Sands, please come to the main part of the station." And it's basically just a euphemism for a fire, because to get rid of a fire, you throw sand on it. Inspector Sands. So imagine if Inspector Sandwich turned up. That would be most unwelcome for the situation.
That's the second most useful thing I've learned today.
There you go. Well, they don't want to start a big run around, basically, because you hear it at football matches as well. If there's a fire, they don't want to scare everyone and make people have a stampede. And so they just say, "Inspector Sands." There you go.
Crack out Inspector Sands. Oh, that's quite interesting. But my app, this is going back to Matt Jenkins. He says, "But my absolute favourite thing was a warning sign I found near Torji Temple in Kyoto, which simply read, 'Please do not anything.' And that's no other context. Just a big stop sign with a hand just saying, 'Please do not anything.'" Which kind of works.
Don't do anything.
It's a bit abrupt.
Just stop fucking about. I agree with that.
I'm trying to read the Japanese. I think it says mono okunaide kudasai. Don't bring anything or don't put anything here. Please do not bring anything. I don't know.
I mean, God knows what
the Korean's
like.
That one kind of makes sense. I guess that's just a mistranslation.
Yeah.
The next one from Jada, though, is some exotic merchandise. She says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, when I went to Japan last summer, I did my best to find any English I could for such a time as this podcast. Enjoy, Jada." And she's found a hat that looks not too dissimilar from the Make America Great hat.
Yeah.
Red hat. And
nice hat.
Just says four words, "Fuck you, pay me," 3 exclamation marks. That's all there is to it. No other context.
Well,
no
that's
artwork.
Kind of...
just fuck you, pay me.
Well, that's kind of like an internet trope in that I think it started with this writer doing a very succinct explanation about why people who are freelance shouldn't work for free. And I think his kind of sign off was, "Fuck you, pay me." So you'll see it all around the internet, people going, you know, like when people sort of go, "Oh, I need an animator for this, or I need a voiceover, or I need this.
Yeah,
it'll be great exposure for your brand." And you're like, "Fuck you, pay me." And so it's quite a popular phrase online. So yeah, that's why you should never expect people to work for free. "Oh, well, it'll only take you 10 minutes. Yeah, but it took me 5 years to get here, so fuck you, pay me."
It's tempting to get one myself, given how many people message me on a daily basis asking me to put their crap in my videos.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no. I attempted to buy one. I don't know where you can get this incredible
hat. Just a picture
hat.
With you wearing it. We'll find
Perfect.
You one.
Do wonders for my brand. And there was also a bag that Jada posted as well. It's an unremarkable looking handbag. It just says, "Add to favourites," and that's underlined. And then underneath that, it just says, probably everyone likes. Everyone is interested in each person. Fashion, beauty, sweets, travel. New things will be disseminated more and more. And that's it.
That's like an alien trying to describe
artwork, it. Just that.
It's just, it's a really, it's an unlovable bag, isn't it? It's like a kind of like a little sort of claspy sort of case.
It's the worst bag I think I've ever seen.
It's horrible, and the phrasing on the side
is. There's
absolutely
no appeal to it.
The writing is probably the best bit about it. It's a horrible black bag that looks like it's a bit Maggie Thatcher with a zip on it on the top. It's kind of like an alien trying to describe a teenager, isn't it? What a teenager's like. Sweet, travel, fashion.
New things will be disseminated. I'd like to just get rid of all the other text on the bag. Just have that one line like blown up on the side of the bag really big. Because I feel like that could be a great conversation starter. Party. So what's your bag about? I don't even know where I'd go from there. I'll just say new things are going to be disseminated, aren't they? And then they'd probably slowly walk away and back off.
I'm for that. Definitely for that. We got
got another one here, but I didn't put the name of the person.
Thanks, person. That's all right.
Just imagine who it is.
Yeah.
This one is just... Pete, give them a name.
Sophie.
Perfect. Hey, Chris and Pete. I wanted to share with you some of our favourite Japanglish phrases, which my husband and I saw on our visit to Japan in 2017. Sophie. She's got some sort of warning photo saying, do not touch doubtful things. Which is a very vague expression.
They have a real problem with these things, don't they? Do not do stuff. Do not, like, they always seem to confuse these ones. Do not do this.
Do not touch doubtful things. Well, Japan's got notices for everything, telling you what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise. The next one, though, we all know the keep calm and carry on the old keep calm, carry on meme, overused the world over. This one just says, it doesn't make any sense. It just says, keep farmed and carry hard.
Keep farmed and carry hard.
And carry hard.
Wow. I'm not sure where they're going with that one, to be honest, Chris. It's crazy.
Well, keep farmed, carry hard.
I mean, there are terrible ones in England where a lot of like shops that are in sort of Leicester Square, Piccadilly Circus sort of way, they'll always have like mad sort of keep cool and let's walk or something. So like, it's not like we're coming up smell of roses on this particular one. I remember a guy wearing on T-shirts and hoodies. I remember a guy in front of me on the tube was wearing one saying, I am hentai man, which I quite enjoyed. Hentai meaning, well, I guess pervert, I suppose. But I am pervert man. Loving
what
it.
Do you think that would entail keeping farmed and carrying hard?
She sounds like an agricultural worker, Chris.
What? It's a girl. It's a girl wearing it. It's a hoodie, a red hoodie, a black and red hoodie.
She could be an agricultural worker, Chris. I don't really know, to be honest.
That could work to some degree. There's some context.
She's probably boasting about how many bushels she can carry of corn or wheat or rice.
Keep farmed and carry hard.
Keep farmed and carry
hard. Out of all these, which is your favourite?
I quite like the bish. I can't be. I cannot walk away from bring icing shit
around
to a
bish.
Final. Yeah,
bish is where the action is. They are the shit. Quite literally, brand new idol shit. Definitely check them out.
It's fantastic.
Now I've been trying to put story times into these podcasts recently because you guys have been sending in some fantastic stories, and we've got a really good one from Robert from North Carolina in USA. And I think it's a good lesson to learn, so I'm going to read it out. It says, Hi, Chris and Pete. I visited Japan with my wife and daughter back in 2016. On our last day in Tokyo, we visited a yakitori skewered meat restaurant in Kabukicho in Shinjuku. We were shown to a booth right away, but after we studied the menu and decided what we wanted, we waited and waited for our server to come back and take our order. Several times he walked past our table, sometimes even making eye contact, but he just kept on walking. I started to wonder if we had come to a business that did not welcome foreigners and we were being deliberately ignored. I started to get quite angry, but eventually I managed to get the attention of our waiter. He came over to the table and, somewhat embarrassed on our behalf, pointed out that our table was equipped with a little button shaped like a chicken, where he was supposed to press any time we needed the waiter. We realised that the little chirping sound we'd been hearing was not the door chime as we'd thought, but the sound of other diners summoning their waiters. I've since learned that this sort of system is a common feature in some Japanese restaurants, and it's a wonderful idea that I wish restaurants in the West would accomplish. We'll know better next time. Robert from North Carolina. And that's a really good point, because I've made that mistake. Just even yesterday, I was in a restaurant wondering why no one was coming over, and I didn't see a little button. Sometimes it's hidden under the table or under a menu, but they are there. If the waiter doesn't come over to you, it is, there's a button system, and they're very common. I'd say probably 40% of Japanese restaurants probably have that system, 40 to 50%. You've come across it, Pete, presumably?
Yeah, massively. I'm a fiddler as well, so like, even if I'm going to press everything that's in front of me anyway, and I've inadvertently brought over the waiter when I didn't really need him, because I'm a bit of a fiddler, and the button just went off, and I was like, oh, God.
You are the worst kind.
Oh, I'm a nightmare.
Foreign tourist, just prodding the button over and over to summon the waiter, like some sort of shitty, obnoxious king. yeah, no, it's a good system. And this one, they do like play weird noises sometimes, like this one in the shape of a chicken. I guess because it's a yakitori restaurant, it's a chicken. Because yakitori is usually chicken. Yeah. So, yeah, just if you don't see anyone coming over, try and find the button, hunt for the button. If you can't see it on the table, look underneath. It's not the staff being racist or ignoring you. It's just the button. So there you go. Popular mistake. Popular error.
Yeah. Press every...
Yeah! I just know
we're approaching the end of the podcast, and I'm just really excited to do my sign-off.
Why, have you got something great planned?
No, I'm literally just going to repeat something I said earlier on.
Well, I'm gagging to hear what it is. Yeah. Before that, though, as always, guys, keep the messages and questions and stories coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. As I said, want to get some more stories in these podcasts from now, because there's so many great stories and people visiting Japan, it'd be a shame to waste them. But for now, that's all. We'll be back same time next week, but no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening, and here's Pete's dreaded sign-off that we've all been waiting for.
Keep farmed and carry hard!
Hey! Go look up fish. Make the day complete. Have a good one, guys. See you later.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.